Everyone, straight to be in the Lord's house tonight. Proverbs chapter 1, if you would please. Proverbs chapter number 1. We'll begin reading tonight in verse number 20. I'll give the intro and all that as we get going here. I don't want to waste a lot of time. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. The Bible says this, "Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of contours, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her word, saying, How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." Verse 24, "Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they that call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil." So the title of the message tonight is God's Lifeline to the Fool. God's Lifeline to the Fool. Let's go and open up in a word of prayer, ask the Lord's help tonight. Billy Kirby, would you pray for us, please, sir? Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Again, it's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. And, you know, as I was thinking about what to preach, you know, when you're the backup guy, you always have about seven different half-baked messages. And so I always try to be ready as much as I can. But, this one I've been sitting on for a while. Back when we were still in junior church, I did a series for the kids down there. And I have no doubt that your kids remember that 2 years later. I feel very confident that your kids still remember that very vividly. I'm sure they don't, but it makes me feel better thinking that. So the title of that series was Solomon's Marks of a Fool. And so the whole point of that was just to, you know, try to teach the kids about consequences, and, you know, you try to drill into their heads, you know, those things, those practical life lessons. I found that as we went through that series, I saw more of myself through that, you know, because even as adults, we like to think that we make the right decision every time, but we just don't. You know, we think that that we're doing well, we're making all the right decisions, and we have all the right friends, and life is right where we want it to be, and then we make a foolish decision, and it wrecks it all. And so if there's anyone who knew about something like that, it would be Solomon. And Solomon was, he's a great example in some areas. He shows that it is possible to live for the Lord, but also to be blessed greatly of him. Solomon was greatly blessed, no question about that. But Solomon became very foolish towards the end of his life, and we're not really going to look at that tonight. But what I do want to look at is in verse number 20, I want you to notice something. It says, "Wisdom crieth without." So we have this word picture here. It's not a lady named Wisdom. Okay, that's not what we're dealing with here. All right, so this is more or less personification, if you will. And so what's happening here is Wisdom is taking on words. You know, it's literally like every trait that embodies Wisdom is trying to call out to you. I kind of wish that I had something in the back of my head that would tell me what I should do and what I should not do. I know that that's the voice of the Lord. I get that. But at the same time, it's not always easy to make hard decisions. And so wisdom here is crying out in verse number 20 and leading all the way down through verse 33. That's why we read the entire passage there. And so as we go through, I kind of want to split this passage up because I think there's a lot here that we're not going to get to tonight. But the first part is found in verses 20 to 23. And that first passage in verses 20 through 23, that first four verses there, we see that wisdom is pleading with all of its might for someone to listen. That's the picture that I get here. Because notice in verse number 20, that first, I mean, it's obvious here. Wisdom crieth without. You know, this isn't a quiet sob that we're talking about here. You know, it's not like a heartbroken sob. When it says crieth without, it's a proclamation. You know, it beckoning for anyone to hear. It says, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse in the openings. We're not going to read it all again, but in the most public places of that time, wisdom is crying. It's crying out. In the town square, in the chief place, and at the highest elevated level, wisdom is crying without, hoping that someone will listen. Well, what's the message in verse 22? How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof, behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. So it's a very powerful message if we'll stop and listen to it. What wisdom is crying without here? You know, there's some obvious application that we'll get to later on, but I think it's very important to note the actual message that is being told here. You know, if just imagine with me for just a moment that you were about to come face to face with maybe a dangerous or a life threatening circumstance. If someone could help you and they saw it coming, wouldn't you want them to say something? You know, maybe you're about to face some sort of life-threatening peril, whether it be fire, whether it be car accident, whatever it may be, and someone has the power to stop that or at least let you know about it, you would expect them to say something, right? Because otherwise you would say, well, that's morally wrong. Why didn't you say anything? Well, that's exactly what's happening here. What's happening here is there is someone, maybe multiple people, who is about to make a bad decision, who's about to do something they are not supposed to do. And so wisdom here is taking on that role of helping when it wasn't necessarily called for. That's what is happening here. Because it's taking a proactive stance. Verse 22, it says, how long? How long, you simple, will you love simplicity? That means that there's already people going down the wrong path. It says, how long will you keep doing this? How long are you going to keep suffering needlessly? How long are you going to keep doing this? That is the message that is being cried out with great urgency. You know, I in no way want to contort Scripture here, and that's not my purpose at all, but I think that we'll see as we go throughout that wisdom is crying out nothing less than Bible principle here. Okay, that is what's being said. Because the Bible is all about life change. And if there's one thing I try to teach those kids downstairs in junior church every Sunday, is that the Bible is real, it's relevant, and it's meant to change you. That's what it is here for. If God didn't want that, He wouldn't have put together all the men and preserved it through thousands of years. This is another message. I'm not going to get sidetracked. I'm not going to do it. But that is why we have it. It is here to change our lives. And so when God pins something down, I would assume it's probably important. And so the message that's being conveyed here is not meant for just one person. It's not meant for just someone who is going through something, but someone who might go through something, who might make a poor decision. That's all of us here tonight. And so in verses 20 through 23, that's our first passage there. In verses 24 all the way down to 32 is kind of the second part. And then verse 33 is where we'll finish it up. So is everyone ready to go tonight? Amen. I know we probably had a long day, and I have too, I promise, but I think we can get through this together. So let's look first at three characteristics of a fool. Okay, three characteristics of a fool found in verses 20 through 23 there. So we see that each person mentioned has their own little character traits, if you will. So in verse 22, it says, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? The word simplicity means to be open-minded or naive. Okay, it means to be simple. Okay, nothing too deep there. Foolish, open-minded, naive, however you want to term that. The simple that is mentioned in this passage is one that loves to be foolish by being purposefully naive. Okay, purposefully naive. Well, what does that mean? That means that this is a person or people, rather, who rather than take on wisdom and allowing it to direct their actions, they choose to allow their open-mindedness to tell them what to do. Okay, let me give you an example. Let me just give you an example here. This was me as a kid, by the way. So the simple is like a kid who tries to get as close to the electric fence as possible. And then when they get shocked, they don't know what happened. You ever seen that before?
Yes.
You just watch it happen and you go, hey, watch this. My dad was the king of that, right? He would just sit back and watch and go, they're going to do it. It's going to happen. And it happens. And he goes, told you. He did that to me all the time. It was a very traumatizing childhood I had. And so that is the simple. The simple is the kid who gets as close to the consequence or as close to the electric fence as possible, and then doesn't know what happened when that happens to them. So if we can just bring it back, you know, that's kind of a silly illustration, but I think it kind of conveys the point very well. You know, a good example of this simplicity, of this open-mindedness, of this of just being purposefully naive. A good example of this is the ever-famous follow your heart. You ever heard that before? I'm sure you have. The ever-famous follow your heart. You know, one of the most ignorant phrases that I've ever heard in my life. And so, you know, that's just asking for consequences to come into your life that don't need to happen. That's what it is. And so to be open-minded is sometimes good, you know, when it comes to food, I suppose. But, you know, when it comes to Bible principles, it's not necessarily wise to be open-minded all the time.
Right.
You know, there's a reason why not every religion is found in the Bible. There's a reason why the Bible is so specific about how we are to live our life and what we're supposed to do, what we're supposed to say, who we're supposed to hang around. There's a reason for that. And that is because God wants us to live our life a certain way. Having a naive and open-minded mentality over time will wear someone down, and it'll never let them mature like they're supposed to. You know, to just constantly just allow consequences that should never have happened, to allow all those things to come into your life, it's not beneficial for you in any way. And so wisdom cries out to the simple, telling them to follow wisdom rather than be foolish and naive. So the second person we see, that's the first one, is the simple. How long, you simple, will you love simplicity? The second one is, and the scorners delight in their scorning. The scorners delight in their scorning. So the second characteristic is that of scorning. To scorn means to brag, to talk about with pride. I'm sure we've all met someone like that. A scorner will allow their own words and thoughts to overcome that which they know they should not do. So rather than allowing wisdom to dictate their words and their thoughts, they say whatever they want, and they think it's okay. They have no issues with that. Now, I kind of geared this, you know, more towards kids, but I think it applies to adults as well. You know, it's sort of like the person or the people that instead of memorizing verses and saying good things about people, they use their words to tear people down. Right? And so everything that they say is meant to put others down and lift themselves up. Whether it be, you know, through their great knowledge or through their great ability, whatever the case may be, they use their words to tear others down. And we know tonight on a Wednesday night, that's not why words exist. Right? We're not supposed to use our words to just constantly tear people down. We are to edify one another, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians. That is the purpose of language, to communicate with one another in a positive way. Now, there are obvious problems with going through life with pride and all those things that we're not going to get into tonight, but the biggest one is that we are to use our words to uplift the Lord. Okay, we are to use our words to not scorn, but to uplift. That is the whole point. And so when wisdom calls out, I think it's interesting that wisdom calls out to those who have negative speech. Okay, those who have negative speech, those who constantly tear others down, will never do anything beneficial for God. Wisdom cries out to the scorner, telling them to delight in wisdom rather than in their own words. So the third characteristic here, I'm moving kind of quick, I know, but I got a lot to get to tonight. So verse 22, it says, and fools hate knowledge. Fools hate knowledge. That word knowledge doesn't just mean book knowledge. That's not necessarily what we're talking about here. Because remember, this is wisdom talking. Right? This is wisdom. This isn't a library. It's not a book talking here. This is wisdom. And it says that the fool hates knowledge. That word knowledge means discernment or understanding. So this is the kind of person who hates to who hates to actually use their brain, if you will. Okay, I hate to put it that bluntly, but there are people like that, in case you didn't know. There are people who seem to have a vendetta against their own brain, and they refuse to think logically. They refuse to think in a way that would benefit others. There are plenty of people like that. Now, the fool here in verse 22 that is mentioned third there is the common thread with the other two. Because think about it, the simple is open-minded and naive. That means that there's no boundaries. There's no standards in their life. Okay, they just kind of go with the flow. Follow your heart. The scorner is prideful and wordy. They're willing to say whatever they have to in order to make themselves look better. What is the one thing that is missing in all these people? They purposefully lack the discernment or understanding to realize what they're doing is wrong. That's the common thread there in verse number 22. So I could have saved us a lot of time and just said, but I don't do that because I'm up here preaching. So I have to, you know, just kind of lead us all there. And so the fool encapsulates all three of these people. Okay, they refuse to live by God's rules. They refuse to uplift others. They have to make themselves feel better. And they refuse to use the brain that God has given them to worship Him. That is what wisdom is crying out about. In verse number 20, the mission here is to get people to stop living for themselves and live for the Lord. I think that's a pretty good goal. That's a pretty good goal. Now, Solomon, he writes an entire book of Proverbs all about how we are to gain wisdom and that wisdom is the principal thing. However, we see in just this first section here, before we go any further, we see that the first thing that is being dealt with is people just simply, for them to just simply forget about themselves and to focus on the Lord. You know, this has obvious application to those out in the world. Am I right tonight? This has obvious application tonight. I'm not saying anything, I don't think we're stretching the context here to say that this matches a lot of people that many of us know. If we could only somehow manage to get people to stop living for themselves, to stop living for their career, and to stop living for their bank account, and to stop living for those things, and just to simply follow the Lord, their lives would be a lot easier.
Right. Amen.
That's the obvious application. But I think that we could also go a step further with that. And to say that there are many people in God's churches that are doing that same thing. Many people in God's churches who maybe not as obviously, but who are still bent on living life for themselves. Many people who would rather go to bed early than come to church on a Wednesday night. Many people who would rather stay back and watch their favorite sports team or their favorite TV show than meeting with God's people and worshiping the Lord. Many people who are more concerned about their Facebook notifications than listening to the points of the sermon. I'm not saying that because I'm preaching. I'm saying that because I think it happens. Listen tonight, it would do us well to heed the call of wisdom. Just to know that God's Word has something to say to you and to me. It would do us well. So, in verses 20 through 23, we see those characteristics of the person that wisdom is trying to draw out. The person that wisdom is crying out to. And I do want to add one additional point. I just thought about this now. And that is that wisdom doesn't cry out for groups necessarily. You see, the Word of God, and God works through individual people. And so when wisdom cries out, it's in all the public places, no doubt. No question about that. But it's geared toward people. A person. Every person has value. Every person has talents and abilities that God can use greatly. I know I've preached this a lot, pastors preach this a lot, I understand that, and many of us know that here tonight. But it's such a struggle to penetrate our brains to think that God cares about each person. Every person that you and I know, that we rub elbows with every day, your coworker, family, whatever the case may be, God cares about them just as much as He cares about you. And wisdom is crying out to them just as much as He's crying out to you. Amen. Moving right along here, in verse number 24. Verses 24 through 32. We see what happens when that wisdom, when wisdom is crying, wisdom is pleading, wisdom is in the public places, it's seeking life change. Right? Everyone tracking with me tonight? That is what we're going after here. Wisdom is not going after someone who... Wisdom isn't interested in yes men. Wisdom is interested in life change. Those who will wholly follow the Lord. That is what we're seeking for here. So in verses 24 through 32, we see what happens when someone doesn't do that. We see what happens when someone goes through the motions. We see what happens when someone just outright refuses. Let's start reading in verse 24. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. So we see that just the outright rejection in verses 24 and 25. You ever reached out to help someone? You didn't have to, right? You didn't have to do that. But you reached out to help someone. Maybe out of nothing else than just sheer compassion. Right? You reach out and you're trying to help them. And you're just almost heartbroken about it. You know, you see the state that someone is in or a need someone has, and you reach out, and almost angrily they say, "I don't want your help." It hurts, doesn't it? It hurts. Now we feel that on a human level, right? We have feelings, we have emotions. I get that some more than others, and that's fine, but we're all human. We all have that emotion. That feeling of just complete and utter heartbreaking rejection, it doesn't feel great. Now just imagine here with me. Picture in your brain here. Wisdom is crying out with such urgency, such a mission, that wisdom is going to all of the public places, willing to make a complete and utter embarrassment of themselves for just one person. But that person isn't interested. Verse 24, wisdom is calling, stretching out the hand, but it's refused. Not regarded means ignored. Just completely, just to not even face the same direction. The most aggressive way to ignore someone, just to turn away and walk away. It says in verse 25, they've set it not the counsel, just put it aside, and would none of it, just wouldn't even have it. Some pretty aggressive language going on here. And so, because of that, we see that like everything in life, with every action is a reaction, right? With every choice, there is a consequence. Well, what is that in verse 26? I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. So in verses 24 through 32 there, wisdom is telling what is inevitably going to happen if you choose to outright reject wisdom like they have been doing. And so as we go through this passage, I got to be honest with you, the language just strikes me. It just pulls me in such a way. In verses 24 and 25, we already went over that. I'm not going to say it again, but all that's going on here with the rejection and the heartbreak and how wisdom is doing everything it can to cry out, and it's just pushed away. It's tossed to the side. And then in verse 26 through 32, we see what happens when you continually reject the voice of wisdom. You go down that path of just continual rejection. Every time you hear wisdom, you just toss it off to the side. Someone comes to you with advice and you say, I don't want to hear that. What, you think you're better than me? You think you make better decisions than I do? Anybody know someone like that? You go to them and you reach out and you reach out and you reach out. Push you away, ignore you, turn their backs on you. And eventually you have to say, okay, all right, I'll leave you alone now. But when you come asking for help, guess what? You're not going to get it. And you know, the language here, as I mentioned, it's strong. It's very aggressive. It's very striking. But at the same time, I think we can all agree tonight that it may sound harsh, but it's fair. Am I right? This is fair. This isn't about ego. This isn't about pride. This isn't wisdom saying, ha, let's see what happens to you, buddy. That's not what's happening here. You can only reject someone for so long. And then you just have to learn the hard way. Anybody else ever learn the hard way? I've learned the hard way a few times. You know, it would do us well to answer the call. Right? It would do us well. Those of us who are saved here tonight, it would do us well to continually listen to the call of God. When He's asking you to do something, when He's telling you to do something, stop pushing Him away. Stop rejecting. Stop tossing the advice off to the side. And listen, if you're not saved here tonight, then you really need to listen. Amen. Because wisdom is crying out unto you. And wisdom is saying, you know what? There may come a day in which you reach out for God and He's not reaching back. Because He's reached out and He's reached out and He's reached out. He's sent a man of God to you. He has sent someone to you to share the gospel with you. And you say, you know what? I'm fine. Thank you very much. I'll handle life my way. It's worked well so far, so I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. You better be wise. Because there's going to come a day in which God says, okay, I'm not going to reach out anymore. I believe the Bible teaches that. Amen. I believe there comes a point in which God says, do what you want to do. There does come a day in which verse 31 happens in your life. It says this, therefore shall they eat of the fruit of whose way? Their own way. Listen, reaping consequences like this is not God's way. It's not His way. That's not what He wants for my life and for your life. God takes no pleasure in watching anyone suffer. He takes no pleasure in watching anyone have a hard life without Him. He takes no interest in that. In fact, I believe that it grieves Him. I believe it grieves the heart of God when someone rejects Him, and yet He still loves someone so much that when they go through pain, He feels it. I believe that tonight. God cares about every person. We've already said that multiple times now. But the fact of the matter is that in verse 31, we see that there comes a day in which God lets those people who have made poor decisions, who have rejected God, get what they have coming. You can't ignore the principle found in Galatians 6:7. You reap what you what? Sow. You choose to make foolish decisions. You choose to not heed discernment. You choose to not listen to the Word of God. You choose to not come to church. You choose not to do anything in the service of God. Then guess what? You're not going to reap great things. It is not going to be a great life for you. And so we see that things don't work out so well if you don't listen to wisdom. Now, verse 32. Let's move on here. It says, "For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them." In verse 32, two key phrases that I kind of want us to see, and then we'll just kind of try to bring all this together. And in verse 32, two key phrases. The first one is turning away. It says, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them. This simply means that the simple is literally turning away from everything to do with God. Now remember, way back when we first started, you know, all of 20 minutes ago, okay, we talked about how simple means open-minded, okay? It means to be naive, to purposefully choose to not glean the wisdom of the Word of God, okay? So that is simple, to be open-minded, to follow your heart, to do your own thing. However you want to term that, that is the simple person. The simple hears wisdom crying out, and they might even feel wisdom speaking to them, and yet they turn away. They turn away. To turn is a choice. Y'all understand that tonight? To turn is a choice. That is something that they can decide. They have no desire to do the things of the Lord. Rather, they choose to do things their own way. Now, there's a lot of examples for this. Right, you might have some in your own life, and that's fine. But I think that in the Word of God, we see a lot of people who do that. Okay, and all throughout the Bible, we see people that that God tells them to do something, they do the opposite. And just a few offhand, I only wrote down one, but I think Samson is a great example in the book of Judges, chapter 14. Samson is the king of follow my heart. I will do whatever I want. I am invincible. How'd that work out for him? Not too great. Not too great. Such potential. Right? How many of us have heard that passage preached on Samson, and someone along the way said, such potential. Such potential to keep the nation of Israel safe from their enemies. Such potential to be an authoritative figure in a time in which that nation was in disarray. It was an absolute mess. And yet you just see him making things worse. You get to the point to where you read through the book of Judges and you just kind of cringe every time you hit chapter 14. You're like, ugh, I almost don't want to read it. But then at the same time, as I go, I'm like, I made some foolish decisions too. Samson, I think, is a great example of this. Samson knew what the law said. He knew what his parents said. He knew what God said. But he chose to willingly turn his back on everything that he knew was right. You almost can't hold... it's kind of hard to hold someone accountable for stuff they don't know. Right? If someone doesn't know something, it's a little hard to hold them accountable. But Samson knew everything. He knew what he was supposed to do. He knew what his purpose was, and yet he still turned away. Proverbs 1:31 tells us that if the simple choose to forsake wisdom, it will slay them. It'll slay them. Now, that doesn't mean that when you make a wrong decision, God will strike you dead. That's not what I'm saying. Okay, it could happen. I don't know. But I don't think that it will. However, if you choose to forsake the Bible, if you choose to forsake wisdom, think about what it could slay. It could potentially slay, or it will slay, your relationship with God. That's for certain. If you're saved tonight and you choose to put off God's commands, you choose to put off going to church and to not read your Bible and not to pray, and you put off all those things continuously, and you start to live life for yourself, it will kill your relationship with God. Now, that's not to say that you'll lose your salvation. Okay, I just want to make that clear tonight. That's not possible. Right. Because it's not about you. It's about what God did for you. Right. Okay, I didn't do anything to earn it. I can't do anything to lose it. And so that's out of the question here. What we are talking about is a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. It will kill it. To live life your own way will kill it. It could potentially kill your marriage. keep going down the path that you want to go down, living life for yourself, your marriage can't survive that. It could kill your relationship with your family. It could kill your relationship with your church. I mean, obviously. And it could get even worse from there. Even bleeding into material possessions if you go further, far enough. To not heed wisdom is to slay everything you care about. I think that's an important truth that we need to get a hold of. So choose not to be simple, and choose not to forsake the word of God. That's what we can learn from verse 31. It says, verse 32, excuse me, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them. I don't want anything in my life getting slayed. Okay? I don't. That doesn't sound like a good thing to happen. Okay? And so I would generally try to avoid that if I were you. And so, verse 32, moving right along here, it says, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. So the second thing I want us to see there is not only the slaying of it, the turning away of it, but also the prosperity of fools. Prosperity of fools. Most people like the idea of prosperity, right? I want to be prosperous. I don't really know if we're talking about relationships or material things. I don't really care. I like the word prosperous. Okay, I like that. I like that idea. I like that term. Every day we see people and we might think, wow, they're successful, they're prosperous, right? And a lot of the times we associate the two words. We just kind of intertwine them and make them the same thing. I would submit to you that they're not the same thing, okay? To be prosperous, by the modern definition, to be prosperous would be something like, your material possessions are exploding. Right, and you're doing well. You're doing well. To be successful in man's eyes means to be powerful, means to be authoritative, means to be, when you walk in a room, everybody else stands up. That's what man views success as. To be the top dog, whatever else you want to put in there, that is what man sees success as. Now, there's clearly nothing wrong with being prosperous. There's nothing wrong with that. If God chooses to bless you that way, thank the Lord for it. But we do see that it could get someone into trouble. Right? In verse 32, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. I don't like slaying. I definitely don't like destroying. I don't like those two words we have going on here. I want to avoid that if at all possible. Solomon says that a rich, foolish person will destroy themselves. They don't even need any help. They destroy themselves. It's almost like they implode. They can't handle their own stuff. This simply means that if you choose to forsake and turn away from God, it's still possible that you could be prosperous. That's still possible. But be warned, in Proverbs 1:32, it may destroy you. Has every potential to destroy you. I thought about pulling out some stories. I have some sermon illustrations that I have laying around that I never use. And so there are some stories of people who made it all the way to the top and then they failed and lost it all. There's plenty of stories like that. But I don't really think that we need that tonight, because that's not really the point. The point is that in verse 32, if we continually disregard wisdom, we're ignoring the crying out that we see way back in verse number 20. And we go down the line. Wisdom's crying out, reaching out, and you're rejecting, rejecting, rejecting. You might still be successful in man's eyes. You might still, quote unquote, make it, whatever that means. You might still do that. But be warned, it will probably destroy you. And I would submit to you tonight that if we're going to live life for ourselves, be ready for it to destroy you. Be ready for it to destroy you. Be ready for when you choose to ignore God and He removes His hand of blessing off of your life, it might destroy you. Most likely will. You know, money, wealth, all of those things, they have the potential to destroy us. Now, we probably never, let's just be honest about it, we probably will never be rich serving God. Okay? I haven't met a whole lot of people who go into the ministry to get rich. Definitely not in our circles, right? You know, there are some people like that, but definitely not that I know. But we do have the promise, as we all know, that God will give us exactly what we need when we need it.
That's right.
We do have that. We have that promise in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. We're not going to read that, but that is where that can be found. So, is everyone tracking with me so far in verses 20 through 32? We got a lot going on, but I want to make sure that we get this point. Okay, so all of that, everything that I've said, leads us up to the title tonight. Okay? So imagine with me that you are foolish enough to ignore the calls of wisdom. That's not too hard for me to imagine, but imagine that you are just the ultimate obedient Christian. Okay? You obey everything God says and you do exactly what He tells you to do when He tells you to do it. But maybe there's one thing in your life that you are ignoring God on. I said, just imagine. Okay? Just imagine with me. I know we're all perfect, but just imagine. Imagine that there's one thing in your life that God is dealing with your heart about. Just one. And you put it off, and you put it off, and you put it off. Every time you go to church, pastor pushes that button. You see a verse that deals with that one thing in your life that you just don't want to give to God. Every time you read your Bible, you touch the Word of God, just seemingly, a verse pops out at you. And you put it off, and you put it off. And then something happens in your life, out of your control. Taught you out of nowhere. Came way out of left field, knocked you down, you had no idea what happened. And then, all of a sudden, you know, such as the man's system, what do we automatically do? God, why did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? What did I do wrong? I go to church, I tithe, I give to missions, I clean the church, I mow the grass. I even help people when they ask me to. I do all of these things for you, but you allowed this to happen to me. Are you imagining with me? It's easy to do. You know what that one thing is? It's an example of how foolish we can be. Because what happens is, every time that you felt convicted about that one thing, that was wisdom crying out to you. Amen. Every time you didn't take an opportunity to deal with that one thing that God is touching your heart about, you are exhibiting foolishness. And then, when that bad thing happens, right, that thing that knocked you down, when that happens, that's found in verse 24 and following. And then you cry out to God and you say, why did this happen to me? That's verse 28. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Well, why isn't God answering? Because you didn't want to hear Him when He was working on your life. Why would He help you now? And then in verse 31, you eat the fruit of your own way. It's a vicious cycle we find our lives in. A vicious cycle of foolishness. But, in verse 33, as with all good things, there is hope.
Amen.
Don't look so sad, people. There is hope. All right? Verse 33, it says, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. You know what I love about the Bible? There's always hope. There's always hope. We live in a world that has no hope.
That's right.
Y'all realize that? We live in a world that could care less about hope. We live for the now and now. Get what you can get. Who cares about the rest? It's also an example of foolishness. In contrast, verse 33 throws us the lifeline. Wisdom throws us the lifeline. Wisdom once again makes a plea to heed to the word of God. Rather than choosing to serve ourselves, we can choose to serve God, and we'll receive two very important things when the bad times come. Number one, that is safety. We'll receive safety. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. That's good stuff. If we will stop listening to our own needs and wants, we are promised safety. Amen. I like safety.
Amen.
All right? We like safety. Elizabeth and I like safety so much. Well, Elizabeth likes safety so much. We just got a Simply Safe. Our lives are simply safe now when we're at home. But when we're not at home, we're no longer safe. So that's a great feeling. But Simply Safe has changed our lives. So, in a world that wants to destroy us and in the face of Satan, listen, in the face of Satan who wants to drag us down, we are promised safety. Think about all that is going against us tonight. There's a lot going against us. We got the world, we got the flesh, we got the devil. That's a lot. I can barely keep from, you know, leading myself down the wrong path. But I also got to deal with all the mess that goes on out in the world. I got to deal with Satan's fiery darts every day. It's not easy. To listen and to follow the principles and teaching of the Word of God, that is certain safety. That is certain safety. We need not fear the world. God will give us safety. So we see that that when we accept that lifeline, when we take it and own it for ourselves, we have safety. Secondly, verse 33, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. So we see that not only do we get safety, but we also get quiet. You know, sometimes I like a little bit quiet. I do. You know, I worked in customer service. I have for a long time. And I talked all day. I talked a lot anyway. But, you know, I have to be nice to people all day. It's a rough life. I got to be nice. I got to be at the top of my game every day. And so, you know, when I talk to someone, they might be yelling about something and I have to back them down off the ledge. You know, it's okay. It's just a can of corn. It'll be all right. I will get you your 49 cents. Don't worry. Sometimes it is nice to have some quiet. I think it's good to sometimes have that quiet for ourselves. If we follow the Bible, we are told that there will be quietness in the face of fear. What a great comfort. Remember those things that we have against us, right? The terrifying three, if you will. We have Satan, the flesh, and the world. Those three things can be kind of scary. You wake up, you turn on the news, and you ruin your entire day. And then you have Satan's fiery darts being flung at you every day. And then you have your emotions trying to stir something up within yourself. You get mad at someone, or you're feeling bitterness against someone, or whatever the case may be. You have all these things working against you. And we just live in a loud, noisy world.
Yeah.
But we're promised quiet. There are many things that want our attention all the time. If we're willing to shut them out and put them out of our lives, we can have some quiet. You know, let's choose tonight to have safety and quiet in the words of God. Let's choose that. Yeah, you heard that right. We can choose that. We don't have to allow all of the foolishness that we see in this passage, we don't have to allow it to wreck our lives. I just find it so interesting that as we read through that passage, wisdom is making an accusation against the person that it's speaking to. It says, "You have rejected. You have turned away." That's a decision that you have made. Time and time again in our lives, we make the choice not to listen to God. Things go terribly wrong and we blame Him. But He's always willing to take us back. And so, in closing tonight, two major applications. You ready? If you're ready, say amen. Two major applications. Number one, if you're not saved here tonight, wisdom is crying out unto you. Wisdom, the Word of God. God Himself loved you so much that He made the choice to send His only Son to die for you. It doesn't get more personal than that. You want to talk about fear? Being uncomfortable? You want to talk about consequences? We think our lives are hard. He didn't do anything wrong. Not a single thing. Most of the time when something goes wrong in my life, it's because I did something wrong first. It's normally how it goes. But with Jesus Christ, He didn't do a single thing wrong. Not a thing. And He did everything necessary to pay for your soul. Paid in full. That's what He did for you. And yet, we have the audacity. Listen, we have the audacity to hold His word in our laps while rejecting Him. You know, I can't help but think about my own life. For a few years, I did that. I came to church. I wore a tie. I held the Bible in my lap. All the time knowing that Jesus died for me while pretending to care about what He had to say. It doesn't get any worse than that. You know, sometimes what we need is we just need to listen to wisdom. And we just need to say, you know what? I'm going to stop faking it. I'm going to stop pretending like I care about what God has to say. Because if you're not saved tonight, you don't care about what He has to say. If you're not saved here tonight, stop waiting for a sign and get saved. What you need to do is you need to read the Word of God. You need to bow your head and you need to beg a holy God to save your soul. Because you have wronged Him when He has done nothing wrong to you. Second application here tonight, maybe you are saved. Praise the Lord if you are, amen? If you're saved here tonight, stop making foolish decisions because you want to live life the way you want to. And I'm talking to me too. I have a tendency, just like anybody else does, to make decisions based on what I think is best. I think most of y'all know me well enough to know that I'm very extreme in almost everything I do. Right? I'm either all in or I don't care about it. I am a type A personality. I'm either going to go get it done or I'm just not even going to touch it. It's just kind of how I work. And so because of that, that gets me into a lot of trouble sometimes. And my wife has to rescue me. She has to be my lifeline and say, "What are you doing?" Happens a lot, believe it or not. And so I know that for me in my own life, I know that there are plenty of times in which I just need to stop trying to work the problem. I just need to either let God handle it or let God handle it. It's really the only way to do it. And so there's plenty of times in my own life. And so I would venture to say that here tonight, there's probably someone who has something in their life they're not fully giving to God. Whether it be a decision, whether it be a relationship, whatever it may be, I'm sure that there's something in our lives that we need to get right with God. Almost constantly, it seems like, I catch myself saying something or doing something that I think, why am I doing that? I'm not trying to push anyone to the altar by any means, but I do think it's very important that we allow wisdom to speak to our hearts. It's very important. And sometimes God uses His house to be the place where people get things right. Let's all stand here tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed, if you would, please.